Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Once again, we'll read from the book of Luke, chapter 18. There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And in that same city, there was a widow, and she kept coming to him, saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However," please notice that word, "however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" We read this portion of the scriptures last time when I wanted to begin to talk about the issue of nurturing your faith. And what I try to emphasize by that is to bring forth to our minds again the importance of faith. We'll see in this particular situation that Jesus was explaining that the Lord may be willing to avenge people quickly. He said, "I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily," that is, his elect. "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" That is, God wants to do something for us speedily. But what might hinder the speed of God is that he finds faith in our hearts, that he finds faith in our lives. And I began to use that one to explain the fact that we have to nurture our faith. Let me say something to you. Anything that God gives to you, I heard somebody say it once, and it's so true. He said, it's your responsibility to keep that thing. When God puts Adam in the Garden of Eden, he told him to guard it and to keep it. Anything that God gives to you in life, he has given that thing to you as a responsibility to keep. I'm saying, therefore, that it's your responsibility to keep your faith. I want to explain something, that in life, all the factors, the issues of life, they are out there trying to wear down your faith. The main thing that Satan is trying to do is to wear down the faith of people. Satan is not there trying to fight you over money. He's not there primarily trying to fight you over your health or even over your children. What he's trying to fight you over is your faith. He attacks your home to bring forth down your faith. He attacks your business to bring down your faith. And that is why the Bible says that this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. That is, if Satan attacks your business and takes away your business, that is not a problem. If Satan attacks your health and manages to take away your health, primarily that's not a problem. The main problem is if Satan can, through all these things, take away your faith. Now, please, that's very important for us to understand, that Satan is trying to take away our faith. He's not trying to take away our money. He's not trying to take away our marriage. He's not trying to take away our business. He's not trying to take away our jobs. What he's trying to take away is the faith. Now, he attacks all those things as a means of wearing down our faith. And I can prove it to you. All you need to do is read the story of Job. You'll see that Job, the attack was not about his children, even though all his children were killed in one day. The attack in the life of Job was not about his business, even though all his businesses were liquidated, all right, in one day. The attack in the matter of Job was not concerning his health, even though a few days later, his health, we saw, suddenly began to fail. The attack was not even about his wife per se, because suddenly there was friction between him and his wife. The attack in everything concerning Job was about his faith. All that God and Satan were, in quote, quarreling about and disputing over was the matter of the faith of Job. God was saying that Job will never curse me. He will never do it. He will hold on to his faith through everything. And Satan said, no, it is because you have been blessing him. If you stop blessing him, his faith will fail. Are you following what I'm trying to say? In fact, when Jesus was going to pray for his disciple, when Satan attacked them, now listen to what he said here. The book of Luke chapter 22, in verse 31, Jesus said to Peter, he says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, once you have been turned again or converted, strengthen your brothers." That is, strengthen them in the matter of the faith. Please, I want you to get this point very clear. All the challenges of life is going for our faith. People, maybe they want to do business, they want to do something, they want to live, build up a career, maybe in a nation like this, like our own, and then arguments come up. You can't do it. power supply is not good. There is no security. There is no this. Listen to me. I think we should get it very clear. All of this is about our faith. The fight is for your faith. That is, when you went through adversity, the mistake you made was that you thought that this was about the loss of money. The mistake you made was that you thought that this was about the loss of a career. The truth is that it is not about any one of this. The Bible says that, beloved, count it all joy, James was speaking, when you fall into diverse temptations. He said, because the trial of your faith works patience. Now, get what I'm going to say. The trial of your faith. All those things are just trials for your faith. They are not the problem in themselves. When Job lost everything, if you notice something, he held on tenaciously to his faith in God. Everybody turned against Job. All right? His friends came and started telling him things that were going to wear down his faith. But at the end of the day, all that Job held on to was his faith. And in the case of Peter here that we just read in the book of Luke chapter 22, Jesus said to him, what I will pray about concerning you is that your faith may not fail. A friend of mine some time ago, he was severely afflicted in the matter of health. And we gathered to go and pray in his house. And when we got there, I was so encouraged because he said, because when the whole thing came, he realized that what had happened was that over time, both his business and his ministry, they had taken a lot of his attention, and that God had allowed that to bring his attention back to the matter of the core of faith. And he told us that it's good we have all come to pray, but that the major prayer point is asking for us, from us, get my point, is that we should pray that his faith might not fail. Because over the weeks when this affliction began, he has settled down upon the word of God. He had fed himself with the word of God. And he has been built up so strong in his heart. And he has stretched forth his hand to receive healing from God for his affliction. And he said he knew, and that's a matter of fact, he's a man who understands spiritual principles. He said he knew that once his faith does not fail, then he will never have a problem. Let me explain something to you. You can lose things physically, but if your faith does not fail, you will recover double what you lost. That was what happened in the case of Job. He lost his money, he lost his businesses, he lost his children, and God gave him back double everything that he lost in the first place, because his faith never fails. Let me explain something. Material things in themselves are nothing. Listen to me. Material things in themselves, they are nothing. What really exists are the things that are in the realm of the spirit. He said, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that are visible. That is, the foundation for the things that we can see are things that actually exist in the realm of the invisible, the realm of the spirit. So that when Job lost money physically, the real substance of that money that he had was in heaven. So even though they were able to touch, Satan was able to touch the physical thing on the earth, he was not able to touch the real substance that was in heaven. And once you touch the real substance that's on the earth, and the person who owns the substance does not lose faith, God will make it a duty for himself to restore double back to that one. That was exactly what happened to Job. When Job's faith did not fail, everything that he lost, because there was a spiritual substance and he did not lose faith. So anyone who can stand, all right, in the face of adversity, not losing his faith. Not many people, they've gone through things. I remember there's one of the popular social critics in Nigeria, Taisho Larin. He said he did not believe in God. And why did you not believe in God, sir? It was because there was a time he asked God for something and God did not give it to him, and therefore he decided that God did not exist. When I heard that, I did not even take it very serious. I said, those are just the explanations of a man who doesn't want to believe something. Because as a matter of fact, there are times my children have asked me for things and I didn't give it to them. Does it mean I no longer exist? Now, get what I'm going to say? That even though difficult trials may come, listen, what is being tried is our faith. So if a man says, because I said, God, give me a scholarship, and God didn't give it to him, it means that God doesn't exist. Listen, he has lost the battle entirely. The battle was about his faith. It was not about the scholarship. It was not about the husband. It was not about anything. I've heard all kinds of people. I've heard people do very silly and crazy things. A young woman said that if God doesn't give her a husband by a particular day, she'll just go and get pregnant for just anybody. I've heard another girl say that if God doesn't give her this kind of husband to marry, then she'll just suddenly become loose. And these people went ahead and did this these things. And when I heard these stories, I laughed. I said, who are you punishing? I like the way Elihu said it to Job. He said, if you do righteousness, who does it touch? Does it touch God in heaven? Listen to me. If you sin, you sin against your body. If you say, because God disappointed you, therefore you are going to do something to, as if you want to pain God. Say, God, you see, I've been keeping myself. I've been a virgin all this while. Now you have not given me money. All my friends are having money. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to become very loose. Listen to me. You are the one that will have HIV. You are the one that will have emotional problems later on in life. You are the one that will die early. God will never die. Now listen to what I'm going to say. I'm trying to focus your mind on the real things. Because if you go through trial, what is being tried is not the material things. It's not the degree you are trying to get. What is being tried is your faith. And I'm telling you, if you win that battle for faith, if you win that battle to stand firm in faith in the face of trials and afflictions, then you have most certainly won it. Then you will now step into what the Bible calls the rest of God. What is the rest of God? It is a place where you will not have to struggle again. It is a place where before you need something, supplies will have come. It is a place where when others are struggling about something, your mind is at rest, because they that fear the Lord will never lack anything good. That is where you step into. That's why James said it like that. In the book of James chapter 1, in verse 2, he said, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. He said, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance or patience. He said, and let endurance or this patience have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That is your full provision. Listen to what I'm saying. The full supply for everything you need in life, whether it is physical or spiritual or emotional, will be complete once your faith passes the test. I'm explaining something, that it is our responsibility to build up our faith. It is our responsibility to make sure we do not lose our faith. And that's what I was talking about beginning from last time, that we must nurture our faith. Everything that God wants to do for us, avengers of poverty, avengers of sickness, avengers of all kinds of adversaries, to give us victory over every adversary in life, what God is saying is that before I can do it, I must find faith in your heart. So Jesus said it like that in that Luke chapter 18. He said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man will come to your home. I mean, this is a matter of fact. I remember the story one man told. He was a prophet in his days. And he prayed and prayed and prayed for one man, that the man might receive his healing. The man had been seriously ill for a long time, and he was on the bed. So he went to the side of this man's bed and prayed. And after a while, the Lord, he suddenly had a vision. And the Lord sent the angel of the Lord to that man. And the angel of the Lord will stretch forth something in his hand. Now, the man who was sick, now get my point, this really happened. A man was lying down on the bed, and this prophet of God was praying for him. And suddenly the prophet saw into the realm of the spirit. And he saw the angel of the Lord with something in his hand. And he just knew inside his spirit, that this thing is a healing for this man. And now the man who was being prayed for couldn't see this. But the man who was praying could see the two people, both the spiritual person and the physical person. And he saw this angel of the Lord stretch forth his hand to give this man his healing. And the man will rise up from his bed. Even though he couldn't see, something would direct him towards where that angel was standing. And he will stretch forth his hands. And then as the angel is about to drop that healing into his outstretched arms, suddenly the man will sit down again, shake his head and lie back. Then this happened like 3 times. After that, the Lord spoke to the prophet, that you see, I have always wanted to heal this man, but I can't find faith in his heart. That's what he was saying. I'm applying my own words now. I have always tried to heal him, but I can't find faith in this guy's heart. Anytime I come with my healing power, he will pray and pray and pray, and then I will come forth with my healing power, but I need faith in him to be able to receive the healing that I am given. Let me give other examples about our practical lives. There are people that have prayed for jobs and prayed for jobs, and God said, there are times I have tried to give this young man a job, but I can't find faith in his heart. This young woman has prayed for a husband, prayed for a husband. There are times I have come trying to give her a husband, but I can't find faith in her heart. And I'm going to explain in practical terms what I'm talking about. And then other people say, I have prayed for children, I have prayed for children. God said, I have tried to give children. Look at my hands, they are full of children, but I can't find faith in your heart. Listen, that's why it's your responsibility to nurture your faith. It is not my responsibility. I can only encourage you by the word of God that I'm preaching to you again tonight, that this is the way by which you nurture your faith. Without that faith, God will come to avenge you of your poverty. That is like that woman said, avenge me of my adversary. take vengeance, give me protection against my adversary. You get what I'm saying? So God will say, I have come to give you protection against joblessness. I have come to give you protection against economic hardship. But every time I come, what do I find? No faith. Now, I've just said all of this to lay that emphasis again. Why it's so important that we nurture our faith. Now, so last time, and I began to talk about the things that are important when it comes to nurturing our faith. I gave a number of examples. I explained that those who try to please people, in the book of John chapter 5 verse 44, Jesus said, how can you believe when you rather seek the glory? You are more interested in the approval that men give you than the one that comes from the only true God. That's one major reason he said you cannot believe. I also emphasize that if you read the book of Psalm, he said that this man, that is a blessed man, who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not sit in the seat of scoffers, and we said that this man is blessed because of these things. And he now said, why is it like that? He said, it's because his delight is in the law of the Lord. What he enjoys is the law of the Lord. What he loves to be in its presence is the teaching of God's word. What his soul craves, what he has trained himself to really enjoy, is the word of God when it is coming forth. Are you getting the point I'm making here? He said, this man chose to delight in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night. Let me explain the meaning of the word meditate again. It doesn't just mean to think. Let me explain that. Number one, it has to do with thinking, but the thoughts that bring forth words to our mouths. That is, in that word, literally in Hebrew, it says, in that law, he talks to himself day and night. What does that mean? That is, when people are sitting down and talking about the problems in the nation, he doesn't just sit down there and start criticizing. All he does is to speak the word of God to himself, that even though the young lions may lack and suffer hunger, but those that seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. In that word, he talks to himself day and night. When people give him examples, they are, don't mind all these young women. None of them can be trusted. Women are very terrible. And you are saying this to a man who's desiring a good wife. In the law of the Lord, in the word of God, he meditates. He talks to himself day and night. What does he say? He takes the words of Solomon and believes them, and he speaks to himself. That's in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 26. He says, I have discovered more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains. He said, one who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be captured by her. The man hears, he speaks to himself that God has said, if I walk in a manner that is pleasing to God, if my life, my own life as a young man is pleasing to God, then I will escape from every woman that cannot be trusted. Listen to me. God is out there trying to avenge him or protect him from wicked women, trying to protect him from women who are dangerous as wives, trying to make sure that his own marriage does not turn out to be a failure. And God said, I can't do that except this young man talks to himself and therefore encourages his faith. You are following what I'm going to say here. That is, he makes it his assignment to nurture his faith. That's the point I want you to get. The man nurtures his faith by talking to himself day and night in the word of God. I'm saying that the word meditate, it entails thinking, but far beyond thinking, it entails what I speak to myself. When I'm discussing with my friends, what do I say about my future? When they say life is hopeless, I say no, my future is bright. That I know the thoughts that God has towards me, they are thoughts of good and not of evil. God wants to give me a future and a hope, and I have come to believe it. That the Bible says that promotion does not come from the east or the west. It said, but God is judge. That if I walk in a manner pleasing to God, God will lift me up. That I have come to understand that spiritual things control the things that are physical. So if spiritually my life is pleasing to God, then God will stretch forth his hand into the realm of the physical and rearrange events so that they will turn out to be a blessing to me. Now, I speak to myself this way every time. And when I do that, what I'm doing is that I'm nurturing my faith so that when God brings forth salvation into my life, I'm able to receive it. Listen to me. This is a matter of fact, what I'm saying. Many people that God wants to bless, they have rejected the blessing of God. I say it all the time that many women pray for good husbands. They did the good husband, the successful, rich, handsome man that God wants them to have. As a result of the prayer they have prayed, The day the young man appears, they use their bad character, their bad behavior, their bad talk, their faithlessness, they use it to drive him away. And the Bible says that he takes away the first to establish the second. As soon as they drive that man away, God sends another person who has faith to receive that man. Are you getting my point? So over time, when they begin to see manifestation in the life of that man, they will say, this guy asked me to marry him 15 years ago, and I thought there was nothing to him because he didn't have much. It didn't look like he could take me abroad the way I wanted. That is, her faith had become weak because of physical things. Instead of her to speak to herself, knowing that I am a blessing into the life of the person that God is bringing across my path. As we join our hands together and face the path of God for our lives, God will bless us. That is, I'm a blessing for somebody. That's going to happen. And that's a matter of fact. A lot of people jump up and down. Oh, prosperity is in Europe. Prosperity is in America. Prosperity is in Lagos. Prosperity is in Port Harcourt. God said, no, you don't get the point. That is called doubt. Doubt is every explanation you have why God can't bring forth results into your life at the present time. That is, I live in Enugu and somebody telling me prosperity is in Lagos, ministry is in Lagos, great things are happening from Lagos. God said, if you believe it, I will not be able to bring prosperity to you in Enugu. And you have already believed the word, and this is what I have believed. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. It says, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Now, I'm just going over these things again, but actually what I want to continue to discuss today, you know, because that's what I started last time when time ran out on us. And that's from the book of Mark chapter 11. Now, that's talking about the fig tree. Jesus had seen a fig tree and he had cursed the tree when he didn't find any fruit on it. And the tree had died, the Bible says, from its root upwards. And then Peter pointed out when they were leaving the city, the master, see the tree that you cursed, it has withered. And Jesus began to teach them about faith. He said, before you can do this thing, the first thing you must have is faith in God. He now began to explain the operations of that faith in God. Then Jesus now said, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, he said, believe you have received them, or if you can believe that you have received them, they shall be granted you. Now, immediately after that, he said, and whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your transgressions. Now, this is the point I'm making. You see, that is unforgiveness in the heart. Jesus was tying it again to this operation of the matter of faith. That is, have faith in God. Great works will be done as a result of your words if your faith in God is intact. And he was now explaining that one of the reasons why you will not see manifestation is when you have unforgiveness in your heart. And what does he mean by unforgiveness? Or what does unforgiveness mean? It's simple. Unforgiveness is that manifestation of disappointment that we often harbor in our hearts. You thought that somebody is going to help you, and the person did not help you. Therefore, you are angry. And the reason, of course, is because you place your faith in man and not in God. And this is what the issue is. Actually, when people disappoint you and they hurt you so much, God is allowing that to teach you that your faith must never be in man. One of the things I've had to learn, both when I was planning to get married and when I was entering into ministry, one of the things I learned was not to put my eyes on anybody. One of the things I heard Bishop Oyedepo say those days was that he said when he was starting out in ministry, one day the Lord spoke to him in his heart. He said, son, can you look up and look down at the same time? He said, actually, he had never thought about it. Of course, you can try it if you are listening to me. Try and look up and look down at the same time. And of course, it is not possible. He said that he tried it and realized that it's an impossible feat. And the Spirit of God spoke to him in his heart. He said, therefore, if you ever claim you are looking up to me, don't ever look at anybody. And if you are looking at anybody, then know that as a matter of fact, you are not looking up to me. Now, I learned that one and it has helped me. That's why it's so difficult to disappoint me. It's so difficult for me to be unforgiving in my heart towards people because my help comes from the Lord. Get what I'm saying? This is my faith. My help comes from the Lord. Now, God can use people, and in fact, he uses people. But God chooses who he will use, and you cannot decide for him who he should use in your particular case. You can put your eyes on somebody. Oh, this is my relative. I know he's very wealthy. He will help me. Listen to me. The man may disappoint you just so that you will understand that he is not God. It does not mean he's a bad man. It is just that God will remove the spirits that will help him to help you, if you understand what I'm trying to say, and therefore you will now become offended. And I'm explaining to you tonight that what actually is happening is that God is saying, take your eyes away from man. There is a great breakthrough I want to give you. You don't need depending on man if you are going to receive it. I can use anybody. I will bring help from the least likely places. We just know that our help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Now, this is what unforgiveness does. It prevents you from being able to receive the blessing of God when it will come. Now, one lesson I would like to teach a lot of young women out there is bear this in mind. No matter how nice you are, no matter how much you have prayed, it is possible for a young man to break your heart. You have loved him with all your heart and you believe that he was going to marry you. Either he proposed to you or he showed you just by signs, or actually you were engaged for a while and then one day he broke your heart. Listen to me. If you are ready for God's blessing, one of the first things you do is to quickly get over your heart. Do you get what I'm saying? And face God and forget the person. And listen, see that Pastor Banky is not easy. I never said it was easy. Obeying God is not always as easy as that, I know. But that is where the power of prayer comes in. You will take these words and go into prayer and say, God, I forgive Brother A for this thing that he did. I recognize that my help comes from the Lord. My heart is not stuck on one person. And if you do that, God will pour the healing balm upon your soul. And listen, suddenly a kind of beauty will come upon you and you will become very attractive. And the person indeed that God has sent will soon locate you. And you will look back and thank God that indeed God took away the first that he might establish the second. And the same message goes to brothers also. People may have disappointed you. Maybe a young woman who you have spent so much money on, you have loved with all your heart. And then suddenly she started telling another story. And she was praying. God was not telling her that this is not the will of God. Laugh about it and forget it. I always say any investment into anything that you do from the depth of your heart, purely out of love, not out of manipulation, out of full persuasion of what is good and not trying to buy somebody's favor, any such thing that you do can never be lost. You can sow it into the life of brother or sister A and you will reap it from the life of brother or sister B. It will be somebody else. Listen, spiritual seeds are like that. I have seen people who have gone to churches and they have invested money, they have given, they have done all of that. At the end of the day, they had a fallout with the pastor, or some people left their careers to go into certain ministries to become pastors. That is, they say, look at it, I left all and I have followed this man. And look at what he has done to me in one single day. At this, I have lost everything that I labored for over the last many years. My message again to you tonight is forget it. Take it to God in prayer and say, Father God, I want to release this thing out of my life. I will not let unforgiveness hold me down. There is a place you are taking me to that I have not yet seen. I will not let unforgiveness prevent me from receiving the full blessings that you have for me. God, I will not let that happen. Because it's a matter of fact, people of God, listen to me. Anytime God takes away the first, it is because he's about to establish the second. And indeed, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. Listen, God is about to avenge you of your adversary. But it says, when I get to your house, will I find faith in your heart? And Pastor Bank is teaching you tonight, nurture your faith so that you'll be able to receive the glory of God when it will come upon you. I hope you have gotten my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.